I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to read one verse, and then we'll talk about the story. I think it's very appropriate. I begin to pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to share with the people this Sunday morning? And the Lord reminded me of a scripture verse that I've had memorized since I was newly saved. And I want to share the verse with you. But the Lord also wants us to learn from the context of that verse. And I think there's a lot to say. The Lord has had us in 2 Chronicles last Sunday and this time as well. But let's look at the verse. It's chapter 16 and verse 9. Chapter 16, verse 9. I'm going to read it first in the modern English version. And then after that, I want to read it in the King James. I memorized it, to be honest with you, in the King James version. And I really like the way the King James version says it. But I just want to reiterate it in both verses, just to kind of hear what is being stated in that verse. Chapter 16 and verse 9, it says this. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart that is completely toward him." Let me read it again in the modern English version. "For the eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart that is completely toward him." In the King James Version, it says it like this, 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." That's the way I memorize it. Don't you like the way the King James Version says it? I do. Look what it says again. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that today you would use your word to illustrate to us your desire to make yourself very strong in the lives of those that will put their complete trust in you. That, Lord, you want to strengthen our hearts, that you want to receive glory and honor and praise through our lives. And so I pray that you would use this word, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And I thank you that, Lord, this verse is not just a solitary verse without a story. And so I pray that we would understand exactly why the prophet was explaining this verse in this way. And I pray that we would also give heed to the words of the prophet. We thank you for all that you will do through your word in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. In chapters 14 through 16, we actually have a story of another king. If you all remember, last Sunday we talked about one of the kings, a king that impacted the kingdom of Judah. And that king had done many beautiful works there in the kingdom of Judah, something that we can learn from for the new year. King Josiah, if I remember, was his name. And King Josiah did a beautiful thing, many things that we can glean from. But there's another king here that we are looking at. And his life begins, or his story begins really in chapter 14. And we read about Asa, the king of Judah. Asa, like King Josiah that we studied last Sunday, was one of the kings of Judah. Now, back in this time of Israel's history, Israel had been divided. There was Israel to the north and Judah to the south. Both of those nations, if you want to call them nations plural, really make up the whole kingdom of Israel. But after David's son Solomon's reign, his sons divided the kingdom with Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And as you read through these books of the Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, as well as 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you read about how the kings of Israel began to rule after David. And as they begin to rule, you hear about all this bickering between the north and the south, the kingdom of Israel and Judah. And you also hear about wars and all kinds of things going on. Idolatry was rampant in the land. The hearts of the people were serving the Lord for a season, and then at other times they would be serving the gods of Baal and worshiping the other deities of the land. And it's this horrible picture. You see ups and downs. It's just like a roller coaster of people seeking after God. But some of the kings, like King Asa here, they had a heart that was after God. And what I want us to see in the story, especially in light of the verse where the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, I want us to see why the prophet made that statement. And it's a promise. It's a promise not only to Asa here, but it was a promise to you and to me and to all that will seek the Lord. Asa began to serve the Lord. You'll find it here in chapter 14, if you don't mind going to your Bible. If you don't, I'll just read it for you. But it says here in 14 verse 1, "And Abijah slept with the fathers," that was the former king, "and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son then reigned in his place. And in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa," verse 2 says, "did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He took down the foreign altars and the high places, and he shattered the pillars, cut down the images of Asherah." Here's these same deities. Now they make their reappearance, and now he's destroying them all over again. But verse 4 says this, "Then he urged Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and commandments." Verse 6 says, "He fortified the cities." He built the land. He built fortified cities in Judah because the land was quiet and there was no war in the years, for the Lord had given peace to him. But then look at the latter part of verse 7. It says, let's just read the whole thing. "And he said to Judah, let us build up these cities and let us surround them with walls, towers, gates, and bars, for the land before us is still ours because we have sought after the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace all around." So they built and had success. And what we see in the life of Asa, the king, is that we find a man that had a heart that sought God. And in this year, like we said the last time, the year of 2017, there is no greater benefit for you and for me than to begin to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. There's a scripture that says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." We now, here in the United States of America, thank God, are still living in a time of peace. We're not at war. Although there are threats and there's a lot of things going on in our world, we are, for the most part, at peace. And like King Asa, we can begin to have this determination in our hearts to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. And Asa, while he was a young man, as we can see, he even urged his people, "Seek the Lord, keep the law, and keep his commandments." And because of this, God gave them peace. The result of our seeking after God will be just the same. There will be peace in our hearts. There will be peace that will be the result. And if it's not there, as you seek the Lord, God will bring peace. Amen. Because you will see later on that the reason why there was peace in the reign and rule of Asa was because he sought the Lord, because prior to him there wasn't peace. But Asa began to seek the face of God, and he had this desire to serve God, and as he was serving God and seeking God with all of his heart, as well as Judah with him, all of a sudden an enemy began to creep up. You see, he began to fortify the cities. That means that he began to build walls. They began to fortify so they had protection against their enemies. And this fortification was very important because enemies back in those days, if a city didn't have walls, the enemy could come right in. And so whenever you do a study of history, you'll find that back in those days, they fortified their cities with protection to protect them against the enemy. It's symbolic of you and I putting on the whole armor of God like we have been studying in the book of Ephesians. Amen? Protecting ourselves from the onslaught of our enemy. They had peace all around, but then in verse 9, we find an enemy beginning to attack. It says here, "But Zerah the Ethiopian Cushite came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. If you read in the King James, it says 1,000,000. that was the way they numbered it, but it was 1 million men and 300 chariots. So there was this army that was coming against Israel in a time of peace, and this army is very strong. I mean, you can only imagine. They're 1 million strong, beginning to surround this land of Judah. Asa is the king, and it says he came up to Meresheth, and Asa went out to engage him. That means he went out to battle, and they arranged for battle in the valley of Sephatha near Meresha. And look what Asa did. And this is very important because he's young. He has a heart after God. He wants to do right. He's telling his people, seek God. And so he does that very thing. These Ethiopians are surrounding them, 1 million men strong, 300 chariots. They're threatening to invade Israel, or I should say Judah. But Asa, in verse 11, says, cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name we come against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let no man prevail against you. So the Lord, it says, struck down the Ethiopian Cushites before Asa and Judah, and the Cushites fled. When you are seeking the Lord, your enemies will end up running away from you if you will run to God and trust in Him in the heat of the battle. Never try to engage the battle or the enemy in your own strength. But if we, like King Asa, will do like he did and run to the Lord our God and begin to fight our enemy in the strength of the Lord, there's a guaranteed victory. How many of you can say amen to that? There is guaranteed victory when we are on the Lord's side and we are fighting with Him on our side. And so these Ethiopians had come 1 million men strong, and now they're running away from King Asa and his men. That is showing that God was with King Asa. God was with those in Judah. It's beautiful. And so look what happens here in chapter 15. We're kind of flying through this, but that's okay. It says, then the Spirit of God came upon a prophet named Azariah. The Spirit of God came Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to this. Listen to me, Azariah says. Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you all seek him, he will be found of you. I want you to say, found of you. If we will seek God, he will be found of us. But, it says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And he says, for a long time, Israel has been without the true God. This is prior to King Asa. For a long time, they have been out without the true God and without a teaching priest, without the law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. Azariah the prophet is beginning to give a slight warning to Asa. He's saying, look, you're having victory. These enemies have come and you have seen them run away from you. There was no peace like you were experiencing prior to you. They didn't even have teaching priests. They weren't even following the law. But whenever they were in trouble and they began to call out to God and seek Him with all of their hearts, God was found of them. You know, that's the story of the book of Judges as well. Whenever the people began to experience troubles and trials and their enemy was attacking them, they would repent of their sinful ways, call out to God, and God would raise up a deliverer. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you've been. I don't care if your faith has strayed. I'm telling you what, if you will turn to the Lord your God and seek Him now, He will meet you. Amen? It's just like He told them, listen, Azariah said, the Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you all seek Him, He will be found of you. And the Bible says, whenever they were in trouble, and they sought the Lord, he was found of them. Later on, towards the close of his prophecy, verse 7, he says this, but you all must be strong and not lose heart, for there is a reward for your deeds. God is saying, in essence, excuse me while I turn this heater down, it's pretty hot up here. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen? God is not a respecter of persons. God isn't only going to show himself strong on Pastor James's behalf and neglect everyone else. God isn't going to show himself strong on just that big television evangelist who has a big television network. No. God wants to show himself strong to the littlest child, to the oldest adult, to any seeking heart. God wants to make himself known to them. That's why the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But he wants a heart that will seek him. He doesn't want us forced, to force us to seek him. He doesn't want forced seeking. He wants it to come of our own accord, of our own heart, our own volition. And I'm guaranteeing you this, that if you of your own heart will begin to seek the Lord, he will be found of you. Praise the Lord. Now you'll see later on, as we just kind of skim over this, Asa began to do some things. He was encouraged after hearing Azariah. Look at verse 8, the latter part. He was encouraged and removed the detestable idols from the entire land of Judah and Benjamin. Though the latter part of verse 8 it says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. He began to rid the land of idols. He began to repair the altar. In a sense, that's a picture of you and I, keeping that altar of prayer, that altar of devotions, of seeking the Lord. He began to, in essence, portray a reparation. Seeking after God with all of his heart. They even began to sacrifice to God in verse 11. It says they sacrificed to the Lord that day from all the plunder that they had got from those Ethiopians. Verse 12 says, look what they did. You see, God is showing himself strong on their behalf. Azariah the prophet has said he's going to show himself this way to you. He will be found of you. And Asa is encouraged, King Asa, and he's seeking the Lord, getting rid of idols. He's repairing the altar, and then they enter into a covenant. In other words, they make a determined covenant between themselves and God. And they say with this covenant, in other words, they're making a promise to themselves about how they want to seek the Lord. It says this, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and soul. But it says, whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. Woo, have mercy. That's intense, isn't it? Now, we don't do that nowadays. Amen. But let me explain it this way. They had made a covenant to seek the Lord with all of their hearts. They said, this is our determination. This is what we will do. And if anyone doesn't, then they would put him to death. But let me say it this way. You and I, as we make that determination and that covenant, and we say, God, I am going to covenant with you, I'm going to seek you with all of my heart, that we will not be influenced by those that will not seek the Lord. Amen? That's the proper way, the right way. We're not going to go and, you know, put them to death. Amen? But we will definitely stay away from anyone or anything that will hinder are seeking after the Lord. And that's exactly what King Asa is doing. He's making this covenant, and they're all covenanting together. Not only him, it's him and all Judah, that they will seek the Lord with all of their heart and soul. Later on, in verse 15, the latter part, it says, they swore with their whole heart, and they sought him with all of their desire, and was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. King Asa even removed his mother Micah from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. Think about it. He was so determined to seek the Lord that anyone that would be wrong in not seeking the Lord, he got rid of them. He had a queen mother. Of course, that didn't mean he got rid of her and put her to death. But he didn't let her be the queen mother anymore. Because this woman was seeking an idol, the Asherah. This was a different idol than Baal. And he put her, look, it says there, he removed his mother Micah from being queen mother because she made a detestable image for Asherah. She made an idol. The Bible says this, if you love father or mother, husband or wife, children, or anybody else more than me, you're not worthy of me. I remember when I first got saved, a little while after I was seeking the Lord. One day, you see, I got saved years before I went to church. And if I know that might not make sense to some of you, but that was my life. Before I ever stepped foot into a church building, I was born again. I didn't get born again in a church. I got saved by watching Billy Graham on TV. Years later, I went to church. Anyways, be that as it may, when I graduated high school in 1993, I remember my whole high school years, there was a desire in my heart to want to know God. I remember those years telling my cousins, my friends, I want to go to Bible school. Eventually, God would open up a real Bible school for me to attend, but even that's beside the point. I wanted God with all of my heart, but like I said, I wasn't going to church. But one day, my cousin, who attended the Assembly of God Church there in Capulene, I remember we were there at my house, and I remember I was standing at the hood of a car on the one side, not the hood, actually, I guess the left side of the fender, and he was standing at the other fender. And I remember my cousin said to me, "Hey, James, do you want to go to church with me this Sunday?" And I was like, "Yeah!" I mean, I remember I got excited in my heart. Yeah, man, I'll go to church with you. I mean, I wanted God. I wanted everything that God had for me. And so he invited me to the Assembly of God Church. And so I said, "I'll go with you." And so I remember that Sunday morning, I was there and I told my mom. You see, my mom and myself, we were all raised Roman Catholic. And so when I told my mom, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to go with my cousin. I'm going to go with Paul to the Assembly of God Church." And I remember my mom broke down. She started crying. I mean, she was crying. I mean, from the gut, like a cry that, I mean, it was like, I mean, awful. And I don't know about you, but when you see your mother crying like that, it hurts. It grips you. And I told her, "Mom, I'm going to go with Paul to the Assembly of God Church." And all of a sudden, she started crying, and she's hunched over, and she's heaving. These tears are flowing. And all of a sudden, she says, "Well, James, why don't you go with me to my church? Why don't you go with me there? Why are you going with him there?" And she's crying, and I see her there. And all of a sudden, my cousin's pulling down the driveway to come pick me up. And she's crying there, and I see him coming down the road. And she's crying. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, I broke her heart, man. She's crying. And he's driving down. He pulls up to the front. And all of a sudden, the scripture spoke to me like that. And the scripture said, "If you love father or mother, husband or wife, or your children more than me, you are not worthy of me." And I remember it like hit me. And I see the car and him waiting. I see her crying, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to go the way that God wants me to go? And I remember, with her crying there, I made the decision, and I said, "Mom, I'm sorry, but I'm going." And I left her crying in the kitchen, got in the car, drove to church, and I remember when we pulled up to the church, I was about to go in the doors, and I almost turned back. I remember I kind of paused because I mean I could still see my mother crying. I mean it was, you know, it was a big decision. It was a fork in my road, in my spiritual journey. And I made the decision to leave her, and I finally said, "No, I'm going." And I went in my first church service. I remember feeling God's peace in my heart. But I left her. I had to make a decision. It's either all God or it's not God at all. And I had to make a decision. And you see King Asa doing something like that here. His mother had set up an idol. And he had to put her down to a lower place because of this. We must have a determination to follow God wherever he leads. And sometimes it means having to forsake. Sometimes those we love. But listen to what I'm just going to say. I left her there that day. And she told me later. That very same day, my cousins and one of my aunts came to pick her up, and they took her to a place to do something. And as they were there at that place, and as they began to do, you know, something that they were doing, she told me that, "You know what?" She says, "I couldn't do what they were doing." She says, "I don't know why I couldn't do it. They were there doing their prayers their particular way, but I couldn't do it like that anymore. But I couldn't." She says, "I don't know why, but God began to deal with my mother." And it wasn't but a month or a month and a half later, my mom accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Amen? And God began to do a work in my heart and life, praise the Lord, and in hers. King Asa began to do things that were necessary for him to seek the Lord without hindrance. But in chapter 16, we have a different scenario, and this is where we come up with the verse. Another man of God comes to Asa, but let's look at chapter 16, verse 1. It says, but in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel. Now remember, Israel is to the north, Judah is to the south. The king of Israel, although they're brothers, so to say, that kingdom to the north now wants to make war with their brothers to the south in Judah. Okay, so it says here, Baasha, the king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah and did not allow anyone to come in or go out to Asa, the king of Judah. Then Asa removed silver and gold from the storehouses of the houses of the Lord and the palace of the king, and he sent it to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram in Syria. Syria is to the north of Israel, okay? Y'all hear what's going on in the news today with Syria. It's the same general area as back then. And he gets these items of silver and gold, and he gives them to Aram in Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, there's a covenant between me and you, as between my father and your father, and I'm sending you silver and gold. Go and break your covenant with Baasha, that's the king of Israel, so that he might leave me. And Ben-Hadad listened to the king Asa, that's the king of Syria. And he sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. They struck down Iljin or something like that, Dan, Abel-Maim, and the depot of Naphtali. And it happened, when Baasha heard this, that he stopped building Ramah, and he ceased from his work. And then King Asa took all of Judah, and they took the stones of Ramah and its timber and Baasha that he had used to build, and he built with them Geba and Mishpah. And at the time, Hanani the seer, this is a prophet. Now, let me just kind of put it all together. Here's Asa, who's the king of Judah, right? Y'all hanging in there with me? Don't listen to your stomachs right now. I know we're a little over time, but I got to get to my point. There's Judah to the south, and the king of Judah is Asa. Now, Asa is troubled because Baasha is wanting to start trouble with Judah, right? But instead of seeking the Lord, keep that in mind, he now goes to the king of Syria. And he says, we've had a pact. And so he tells them, come on, let's do something. And so the king of Syria, who's in Damascus, helps him out. And so now the king of Israel has removed himself, and he's not messing with Judah anymore, okay? And so through all of that, now a prophet comes to King Asa. Okay, that's where we are now. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, that's a prophet, came to King Asa of Judah saying this. Because you depended on the king of Aram, that's the king of Syria, and did not depend on the Lord your God. Therefore, the army of the king of Aram escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites, remember that big million-man army, the Ethiopian Cushites? He says, were not the Cushites and the Libyans a very large army with chariots and horses? But when you depended on the Lord, he gave them to your hand. He's saying, remember where you came from. Remember how I helped you. There was a million-man army coming against you. And when you sought me, I helped you. I delivered them into your hand. And now it's just the king of Baasha. It's not even that big. Not that it's not a big deal, but it's another scenario. But instead of calling out to God like we saw in chapter 14, he's now just seeking out the help of the king of Syria. And so it says, don't you remember the Cushites, the Libyans, a very large army, and yet I gave them to your hand for, and that's our verse, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The way that this one says, he wants to strengthen the heart that is completely toward him. Let me tell you something, and then with this we'll close. King Asa would eventually, in his older age, not have the same confidence in God like he had in his younger years. It doesn't mean that his heart was totally contrary to God. But he was not seeking God like he once did. And this will serve as a warning to you and me. He began to look for the strength of man instead for the help of God. And the prophet said, remember that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He wants to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's saying, I would have showed myself strong for you. I would have helped you. But you sought the help of another man. And so he's getting rebuked. But the promise is still there. The eyes of the Lord are running to the whole earth even now in the year 2017, January the 8th. And He wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. We should not be so quick to look for the help of man. Now, I'm not in any way going to say that we don't need doctors and don't do those things, but seek the Lord first. Amen. Because you'll see later on, Asa got mad at this prophet. And he put him in prison. He didn't like what he had to say. His pride was troubled. And so he got mad at him and he threw him in prison. And he threw him in prison for a little while. And it says there in verse 10, he was angry with the seer and placed him in prison in the stocks. For he was enraged at those words, and Asa even oppressed some of the people during this time. So he was mad. He got angry at the prophet, and things began to happen. But then something else happened in verse 12. In the 39th year of his reign, he had a sickness in his feet until his sickness became grave. It was a sickness in his feet. And even in his disease, he did not seek after the Lord, but physicians. Is the Lord telling you and me, don't go to doctors? No, we need our physical health. We need the doctors. But He doesn't want us to depend on them fully. Amen? He wants us to seek the heart of God first. Amen? You see, he wasn't seeking the Lord like he once did. And what we can learn from the life of King Asa is that when he was seeking the Lord was strong on his behalf. Million men army were running away from them with their tails between their legs, so to say. Amen? But when they weren't seeking the Lord, God was upset. Not that God was trying to punish him, but God was trying to get this servant back to seeking his heart again. He didn't have to just seek the physicians. In his pain, he should have sought the Lord. In our pain, don't run from God and get mad at God and say, I'm not going to go to church anymore because my life is miserable. It's in those places, run to God. He wants to help you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Don't give up. Don't let discouragement set in to that you don't depend on God anymore. Run to Him. Seek Him now. Make a covenant like He did in His youth to seek the Lord with all of your heart. Amen? And as you do and as I do, He is going to be found of us. And as the promise is there, He will show Himself strong on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.